Okay, here we go. So we're starting a new piece tonight. Technically, in the Sefer, there's not Parshas Lech Lecha, which is after Bereishis, which we've been for the last few weeks. But really, it runs through, you know, the rest of Bereishis to a large degree, because it gives us a little bit of a more global view, global picture of global and particular, but of the concept of Avot. Right? Everybody knows Shlosha, Niyodea, Shlosha, Niyodea, by the Seder, right? Shlosha, Avot. There are only three Avot. The Gemara makes it very clear. There are only three Avot. And three Avot, and there are four Imams. That's the Gemara Bracha says. Not more than three, and not more than four. And it's not just a question of Avos, is not just a question of that we all come from them, because with the Imahos, we don't all come from all of them, right? Because you have Rachel Leah. So there's something else going on with Avos and Imahos. Our focus is going to be on the Avos and the Sorry, not on the Imahos, because that's what he wrote about. But Avos and Imahos both mean that there's something fundamental going on here. That's what an Av is. What makes an Av an Av? There's something fundamental that they contribute something fundamental to the makeup of Klal Yisrael, and that each Av made a particular contribution. Copy over there. So each Av makes a particular contribution to the makeup of Klal Yisrael in a way that together they make up what is Klal Yisrael as a whole, and we learn to define ourselves based on those contributions that they made. So we're going to be learning this piece. I'm actually going to begin by just quoting a quote which is purposely cryptic. I mean, I'm not the one who made the quote, but it's purposely cryptic to start with. But then, hopefully at the end, we'll be able to decipher it. So just kind of, this is just to make sure that you come back, all right? It's a quote from one of the Gedolei Chassidus, I heard his name, or Simcha Bunin Pashisto, one of the Gedolei Chassidus, who said, he said in Yiddish, but I'm not going to waste your time and my time, I'll just say it in English. He said, a good man, I'll say it in English, a gutta, okay, is a good man, is immoral, annoyed, if someone lives a life of immorality. A fruma, which translates as a frum man, is a murderer, is a rotzeach, and therefore, what should one be? Both good and frum. Okay? And I'm not going to explain that now, but just in case, you know, you want to know what that means, and you'll have to stick with the, not the Rav Dessler, he doesn't mention it in particular, but I think that the idea behind that statement is really here in this piece. Okay, so let's see. Let's start. Midos ha'avos. Amru Zal. That's reference to Chazal. Chazal has said, ha'avos heinen ha'merkava. This is understood to be a Kabbalistic statement. Avos heinen ha'merkava. The avos are the merkava. The merkava means the chariot. The Ayin the Gur Aryeh Lachlan. The Gur Aryeh is written by the Maral, and he says in Parashas Lachlan, Shapiro explains, what that means is that they had a chariot, the vehicle through which Shechina comes to this world. Shechina hi aleihem, and the Shechina is upon them. Therefore, heim kisei l'Shechina or merkavto, they are the throne for the Shechina and the chariot for it. So understand that again to mean, to the best of our ability, the vehicle by which the Shechina, the Divine Presence, can come to this world. So in case you didn't figure that on your own, he's telling us there is in this Dvarim Amukim very deep things in this idea of Merkava. But the little bit that we are given to understand, in other words, whatever we're going to say, it's much deeper than anything we're going to say. But in terms of what we can get out of this, is Abbas Agdoshim, Aleim Ashalom, Zachuli Dabek Kol Da'atam, that the Avos HaKadoshim, the Holy Avos, were Zoche, Lidabek Kol Da'atam, to attach their entire Das, their entire mind, intellect, being, Liba V'Aviyasam, as well as their hearts and their existence, their essence, the Boris Barach Tashem, Lishum Hefsiklal, without any barriers. V'chol Mitziyusam Haysim Mitzurul Hashem, and their entire existence was dedicated to Hashem. Ad b'li l'hashir makom l'atzmiusam, to the point where there was nothing left for themselves. In other words, they gave themselves over completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol machshav v'aseim v'maseim, all the thoughts and deeds, who ach v'rak l'vodas Hashem Yisbaruch Hu, were all to serve Hashem. There's no, like, you know, in theory, we can all do that. In practice, it's not going to happen. But in theory, everything has the ability to be dedicated to Hashem. And I think we've spoken about this on other occasions, that even the supposed downtime in between the mitzvot really is something that can and is supposed to be devoted to serving Hashem in the support sense, you know, the support system of whether it's eating or sleeping or everything else that we do, work, is supposed to act as a support system for what our lives are all about. But they always succeeded in doing that. So that means they also ate and they also slept. But everything was harnessed into the grand purpose of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Add to the point that b'chol dibur and b'chol tenusim, all of their words and all of their movement, even the matters that appear to the observer as iske olam hazeh, as mundane activities, so brought a revelation of the Kedush of Hashem and the presence of Shechina, to the point where Hashem lent them His name, so to speak. He allowed His name to be said in association with them, to be associated with them. As we say in Shemone Esrei, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. We can't even begin to really fathom the significance of something like that. To say Elokei Avraham, the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. But it means everybody's God. Of course He is. But there's something specific in that relationship and something powerful and foundational that allows for that to express something about it, because Baruch Hu's relationship with the Avos. But when the Kudas Riyazu, from this vantage point, Aleinu is boni al kama Hashem esipers haTorah. Therefore, we have to contemplate everything the Torah tells us. Torah Kedoshim and Yani Avos regarding the Avos. B'chol Masa Masa Hashem esipers lana Torah. Every incident, every story that the Torah tells us, minyaneim, from their pertaining to them. Kibalam Dainu Dargus Layonis has come to teach us very high levels. Badach Evodat Hashem is Baruch Hashlema in the Darach of serving Hashem. How to serve Hashem. So let's just stop here for a moment and understand that he's saying something very important and hashkafically, he's taking this very strong position here. He's saying that when you're learning Seva Bereishis and you're learning quote unquote stories, and many people, myself included, have a special affinity for Sefer Bereishis. Sefer Bereishis, I'm always sorry when Bereishis is over. It's they're great stories, and there's a lot of depth and powerful ideas in Bereishis and everything, but maybe Bereishis, in a way, is more attainable, more reachable for us. But we need to know how careful we have to be when we're talking about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Well, on the one hand, and so Rivka, Rachel, Leah, for that matter, that on the one hand, they were flesh and blood human beings. You know, they bled the way we do, and they ate the way we do, and they breathed the way we do. I mean, they were just regular human beings. And they slept, and they ate, you know, all those things. But on the other hand, they were not regular people. And I've mentioned this in the past, that my Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak Feigerstock Shlita, he quoted Rav Aaron Cutler, as saying that not even just the Avos, but all the people in Bereishis, because of the nature of the Sefer Bereishis, which we learned was the Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Creation, that all the people in Bereishis are not really regular people. They are the term that he used, it's a Yiddish term, and I'll do my best to translate it, Etzem Digamenshin. So mention, we all know, mention are people, right? But Etzem Digamenshin means they were essential people. They were whole nations personified. This was the future civilization. They were civilization. And therefore, whatever they made of themselves would impact the future and every step that they took and every action that they took and every development, for good or for bad, that they absorbed into their own personalities would impact history forever. So whether it's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, whether it's an Esav, whether it's Yishmael, I mean, the world today is what it is because Esav was what he was, and Yaakov was what he was, and Avraham was what he was. That's what made the world as we know it. But when he's dealing particularly with Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, after telling us what he told us, that every step that they took was significant and was done with an understanding that this would impact the future and would impact Klal Yisrael. They were building a nation with the lives that they lived. That's what they were doing. And therefore, we shouldn't chas v'shalom get caught up in what some people do get caught up in, treating them like people, like us, and superimposing our own weaknesses and our own idiosyncrasies and our own pathetic lives on the avos. And you know, I just use it as an example. It hurts me even to say it. It's painful for me to say it. I'm not going to say who the prominent rabbi was who spoke this way, but that, you know, Avram and Sarah, you know, clearly had marital issues, and they didn't get along so well, and therefore they didn't communicate well about their children, and therefore when it came to the Akedah, you know, Avram didn't tell Sarah about it, and she finally found out about it. She sent Avram away and said, don't bother coming back, whatever, absurdities of that nature that are really, it's almost embarrassing to suggest these things. But Ravan Kotler Zatzal, the Lakewood founding Rashi, Lakewood, the great goal and tzaddik, and really wanted to change the world in terms of Torah. He gave a very, very profound presentation. It's been written up as an essay called "In English: How to Teach Torah." It's been translated to English. That it's a talk that he gave to day school principals at a Torah Masorah principals gathering back in the probably 1950s, where he spoke about this issue of understanding the sensitivity by which we have to approach the quote-unquote stories of Sefer Bereishis and the stories of the Avos, and not to bring them down to our level and superimpose ourselves on them and understand and claim we understand it. He quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Me'ila, not Mila, but Me'ila. The Hilchos Me'ila. Me'ila talks about the halacha that you're not allowed to make use of things that are consecrated with the Beis Hamikdash for your own mundane purposes. Right? So you can't take something with the Beis Hamikdash, whatever it is, a pot that was used in the Beis Hamikdash, and decide to make your own chicken soup in it. You're not allowed to do that, right? You can, and the halakha about that is considered to be a very serious offense, and there's a penalty for it, even if you did it by accident. So, but the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Me'ila says it's not only true for things in the Beis Hamikdash, but yeah, it's true for the mitzvot in the Torah as well. One should not say, well, you know, I can understand the mitzvah Torah based on this, based on that, based on my own experiences, this is the meaning of a mitzvah, and therefore you pick mitzvahs and you choose mitzvahs based on the ones that you relate to and so on. He said that besides everything else, one is a violation of Be'ilah, because one is taking the Kodesh and bring it down to our own level. And Ravan Carlos extends that idea to the stories in Bereishis. And if someone takes the stories in Bereishis and just interprets them in, through the prism of our own experiences, and says, okay, that's what was going on over here, then one is guilty of mi'ila, of mi'ila b'hagdish, of mo'l b'hagdish, of desecrating the use of that which is kodesh for our own purposes. You know, he says, by way of example, he has a lot to say on this, and I don't want to get too carried away on it, but we know the Torah tells us that Avram and Sarah had an argument about what to do with Ishmael. They disagreed about what to do with Ishmael. So Hashem says that Avram tells Avram to listen to Sarah. So there are those who want to say, well, they were having, you know, there's a spat between a husband and wife. Says Ravan Kotler, Hashem does not mix in and then insert himself into normal spats between husbands and wives. And Hashem inserted himself over here, and therefore he said that you have to look at the difference between Avram and Sarah, or the dispute between Avram and Sarah, as a machlokis tana'im, as this argument in the Mishnah. And Hashem passed them like Sarah. You know, that's how you have to look at it. It's just a very different perspective. Anyway, so Rav Dessler here, I think, is speaking along the same lines. But we have to know that these stories had to be treated with tremendous sensitivity. Because we need to know who we're dealing with. Okay, we're in the third paragraph on page 160. The old Kas Hashem Amaral. Furthermore, the Maral writes, Begur Aryeh. Gur Aryeh, again, is the Maral's commentary on Rashi and Chumash. Sha'avos Hainin Amarkov Shlema. That the Avos are the complete chariot. Ki Achar Shahayushlo Sha'avos. Because since there are three avos, bein avos olam, they are the forefathers of the world. They are the totality of the chariot. Now, if these words are not cryptic, it's because they are. Because of Sham, Haramban, the Ramban writes on Medrash as on this Medrash, Yirmoz Lamat Merkava, that Yirmoz Lamasha Kasiv Titan Emes Yaakov Chesel Avram Pachad Yitzchak Hayaliv Hamaskal Yavin. And this is alluded to, and we have a pasuk that says Titan Emes Yaakov. That emes associated with Yaakov, chesed to Avram, and pachad to Yitzchak. Pachad is fear. And then he ends with, you know, you always got to love that those last two words that very often when the Ramban and others speak about Kabbalistic ideas, they say, Hamaskal Yavin, the wise one will understand, okay? That excludes all of us, okay? All right. But you see an idea, but the Pasuk has three different ideas associated with the three others. And that's very important. Emes when it comes to Yaakov, Chesed to Avram, and Pachad, fear, or Yira to Yitzchak. This all opens up for us a wide open door for Darkei Avodas Hashem v'HaTorah in the pure way of serving Hashem. V'at Nigash Obiyuro, and now let us approach the explanation be'ezes Hashem Yisbarach with the help of Hashem. Okay, so we're ready to get started. HaKochus Ikriyim. Fundamental kochos. Kochos are powers or unique energies and dispositions that people have. But Adam Nitzam Shlosha Kochos Yisodiyim. When you talk about people, you'll find three fundamental. Again, we could call them kochos. I don't know how else to I don't have a great translation. Koach means a power, but it's something along the lines of power. But it's three particular contributions to a person's psychological makeup. Shem Tzu'usam, again, let's read that word. Shem Tzu'usam, that through them, Yuchal HaGiel HaTov, a person can use these, any one of these three kochos for Tov. V'cholach HaMe'an Shonim HaChaver B'shosh Shogolof Yom, and each one is different than the other in its root and in the way it works. V'eluhim, and these are them. In other words, what he's saying is that there are three different pathways that originate within the person, that each one then could be used as a path that leads to the totality of Avodas Hashem. And before we even get to them, we should know that should be a very comforting thought. There are different paths that lead to the same goal, but we each can find our own pathway based on who we are.
Does every person does every person access Hashem through a combination of the three just through one?
Let's see. Okay, that's a good question. It could be through one, or it could be a combination, or it could be that one leads to the other two. Okay. One is chesed. What is chesed? Shebo sam ha'adam es ikar mayano ba'achir. When you're talking about chesed, what you're saying is that a person who chesed dominates in his personality, that means we have a person who places his primary focus in others. He's primarily interested in others. And seeks to do good for others, and to positively influence them. Elsewhere, we, Rav Dessler says, refer to this as Koch HaNesina, the power of giving. So in other words, you can have a person who is outwardly focused, a people person, if you will, an extrovert, someone who enjoys interacting with other people and uses that disposition in order to help other people and to positively impact the lives of other people. And that's Koach HaNesina, a giving person. Someone who's not focused on himself, but focused on giving to others. But the second one is Yirat Shamayim. Yirat Shamayim is the opposite of chesed. Not that it's opposite of chesed, meaning it's anti-chesed, but it's a different personality. Type of 161, a second line. Yirat Shamayim b'nigud l'chesed, as opposed to chesed, she p'niyasu achutza, which is outward-focused. B'yira, when we talk about yira, pon adam atoch atma, the person turns towards himself. He's very concerned about the results of his actions, and he's focused on his own behavior. It's more of an inward focus. So it's not that gregarious personality of the of the giver of the Chabad Chesed is someone who's it's Yira, it's between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's always concerned, am I acting the way Hashem wants? Constant self-scrutiny, if you will. We're assuming in a healthy way. And Gimel, the third one is Emes. Emes is Koach Bakashas Emes. It's where a person is driven to seek out the truth. The Vara is a Derech HaNachon Revodat Hashem, to clarify what is the right path of serving Hashem. B'li Lintos Yom Nismo, without deviating to the right or the left, to stay on that straight path. Outside of Chesed HaMufras, he would want to make sure he doesn't overdo the Chesed. Outside Bikoros HaAtzmus HaMufras, or to overdo the introspection. Shemat V'masim, what could you do to overdo, what does it mean to overdo self-scrutiny? I'm self-scrutinizing, but being overly self-scrutinizing, if there is such a term, it could be stifling. It could petrify a person. It could freeze up a person from acting because he's always afraid, am I doing this right? Am I not doing this right? You know, we can, I don't know if you have to use the psychological term, like OCD or something like that, but where a person is constantly examining themselves, am I doing this right? Am I not doing this right? Then the person gets stuck in that and doesn't allow the person to develop themselves, doesn't allow the person to fully express themselves, doesn't allow the person to be out there and to be the person they need to be, because they're always questioning, am I doing it right? So therefore, Emma says, I'm not going to get caught up in that. I'm not going to get caught up in too much chesed. And I'm not going to get caught up in too much self-scrutiny of internal focus. I'm going to find the path that is the healthy path, that incorporates what it needs to incorporate and does not overdo anything. You know, by the way, chesed also we should recognize that, and he'll get to this a little bit later. But there's such a thing as overdoing chesed as well. Overdoing chesed. I mean, I'm sure you can think about situations where a person overdoes chesed. Overdoes chesed to the point where they deplete themselves. Overdoes chesed to the point where they deplete themselves to the point where now they have to come out to other people, or some of this chesed for people not deserving of chesed, where you're doing chesed for a person in a way that's going to cause harm to other people. There are situations like that, like not locking that guy up in jail who needs to be locked up, or giving that gun to the person who really shouldn't have it because he just can't bring himself to say no, whatever the case may be. They can have catastrophic consequences. So there can be such a thing as too much chesed, and there can be such a thing as too much yira. Those first two meters. Okay. In this bonein, if we will contemplate or think about, examine b'chol achas mehamidos eila, each one of these meters. Nuchal ahavchin, we will perceive b'chol achas mehen shol b'chinos. We'll find three aspects to each one of them. Misha midaso ikris chesed. One is primary midas chesed. He is that people person. There can be different things that can drive the chesed. He might be doing chesed out of a desire, simple desire to help other people. Maybe Yira is driving. He wants to do the right thing and he's afraid that he's not doing enough chesed. Or it could be Emes is driving his chesed. Emes could drive chesed as well. Emes also calls for a person to do chesed when it's called for. Sheyafik hamakabel mimenu esatolas anachone. He wants the chesed to be perfectly true. What does that mean? That the recipient should experience the chesed, the benefit from his chesed, that is appropriate, that is good. You know, sometimes you could do chesed for a person and you're really not helping the person. They don't want the chesed. You know, I remember as a child seeing the cartoon of the Boy Scout who helped a little lady across the street. And when she got across the street, she said, I didn't want to cross the street. But he was doing his good deed for the day, right? He had to check off that I did my good deed. So if Emes is driving the chesed, that will never happen. Because Emes says that this chesed has to be chesed amiti, a true chesed, a chesed that achieves what it's meant to achieve. So there can be three things that drive chesed. And so too is Yira. Yira, after she's throwing my veer b'chol ma'asim ma'asav. It's possible that just Yira will be simply that he's afraid of doing anything wrong. He doesn't want to do any aveirah. So each action that he takes in life, he's going to examine it to make sure there's nothing sinful about it. But Yira could also bring one to do chesed, because he knows there's an obligation to do chesed, and he's afraid of not meeting his obligation. He'll be afraid to fulfill his obligation with chesed, unless he does a lot of it. But Avino, in his understanding, if he understands that chesed is one of the obligations that a person has. So if I have an obligation to chesed, and I'm worried about my fulfilling the obligations because of Yira of Hashem, then that Yira could lead a person to examine his chesed and to see whether he's doing it well enough. In truth also, it's something he can be very concerned about. And therefore, his yira, his fear or his sensitivity to make sure I want to do everything right, could introduce emes into his life as well. And the same is true for the third meat of emes. There are three possible drivers that can bring a person to emes. One could be a simple inner desire to pursue truth, right? He's just a truthful person, you know? George Washington, right? Can I tell a lie, right? According to the story, that's not true. I mean, I don't know if you ever lied, but say the story isn't true about the cherry tree. And I hope that didn't burst anybody's childhood. Okay, anyway, but he's just emes. That's who he is. That's number one. But sometimes, as we already said, the desire for truth can inspire chesed. Any truthful person understands that chesed is a true value, right? And his desire to pursue truth will bring him to Yira in the sense that he'll be afraid of and scrutinize himself all the time to make sure that he's not distancing himself from truth. So, in other words, while there's three things, they're not so clearly divided because each one can interact with any one of the others or be a gateway for the other two. This is what Chazal, what the Svar Magdoshim. Svar Magdoshim means like usually the Kabbalistic, we say the holy books, not all of our Svarim are Kaddish, but it refers to things that are more of a Kabbalistic nature or of Chassidus, of Sivir Chassidus. They tell us, Yeshna Bechinas Chesed Shebechesed, Gur Shebechesed, Tefer Shebechesed. I'm going to read a few more words and I'll explain. Gur Shebechur, Chesed Shebechur, Tefer Shebechur, Chengam Tefer Shebechur, Chesed Shebechur, Gur Shebechur. Okay, so that was a mouthful. Let's just stop for a moment and clarify. We're talking about these midos, right? So it's chesed is Avraham's mida, so we'll see more about that soon. And yira is Yisra's mida, and Torah and emes is Yaakov's mida. Right? But in the Sfarim we find that there are other names to these midos. There's chesed is pretty much straightforward as chesed, but Yisra's mida of yira is also called Gvura, because think of it as Yiras Hashem and Gvura strength in the battle with the Yetzirah that the one who has Yiras Hashem is constantly engaged in. Yaakov's Midah is called Emes, but it's also called the Midah of Torah, because Torah is the only absolute truth. And it's also called Tiferes. Tiferes is splendor, I think is the way they translate it. But if you're familiar at all with the Sfiras Omer, this idea of Sfiros, and you have these Kabbalistic components to the cycles of the way everything works and the way the world works, they each interact with each other. So there's Chesed, and there's Gvura, and there's Tiferes, right? The Chesed is Avram, Gvura is Yitzchak, and Tiferes is Yaakov. But there's Chesed Shebe Chesed, and there's Chesed Shebe Gvura, and there's Chesed Shebe Tiferes. And so on, and so too with Gvura. There's Gvura Shebe Shebe Chesed, and Gvura Shebe Gvura, and Gvura Shebe Tiferes. So each one is a entity unto itself, but that incorporates the potential for the other two as well. So as he explains, can they get shalosh bechinos ikrius elu nemar hashos dvarim ha'olam umit. So now he uses these three things. He says these three things. What the Mishnah talks about is referring to when the Mishnah says there are three things that the Torah that the world stands on: ala Torah, which is Yaakov; ala avoda. Now I neglected to mention that Yitzchak midah is also called avoda. Yitzchak midah is yira. And it's Gevura, Yira, fear of Hashem, and Gevura, strength in the battle with the Yetzirah, and it's called Avodah, service of Hashem, right? So it's Torah and Avodah about Gemilas Chasadim, and Gemilas Chasadim is Avram. Ki Torah hari b'chinas emes. Torah is absolute truth. Avodah is Karbanos. Is Karbanos. Avodah primarily refers to the service in the base of Megdash and the bringing of Karbanos. Now, what are Karbanos? So he just throws in a little bit of a Kabbalistic bolt the lightning and what Karbonos are. It's Bitul Hayesh. Bitul Hayesh is the negation of the physical world, and it's the expression of the idea that the physical world is not the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is spirituality, which is Ruchinas Yira. That's related to the idea of Yira, and he says in parentheses, also Gvura, according in the language of the Mekubalim, of the Kabbalah. And finally, Gemil Sasod, the Mehbichinas Chesed, that's Chesed. Famidas Hamasnagas Lamitzara, what are the three counter midos, the evil side, the flip side of the picture. Hein osa sholosh midos hamatiyas es ha'adam ne'olam. The three midos that it says in Pirkei Avos remove a person from this world. And there are kina, atay v'akavim. So what's kina? Kina is jealousy. Jealousy is the opposite of, which are the three? So it's chesed. The opposite of chesed, because chesed is where you want to give yourself to others, and kina means where you want what the other person has. Taiva, desire, or lust, is hefach ha'gvura, is the opposite of strength. Because the gibor, who's wrestling with his yetzirah, overcomes those natural inclinations, but the baal taiva is the one who caves into all of them. Gvura, nyan ha'miti, gvishas ha'yetzirah. Gvura, strength, really means overcoming the yetzirah. Ba'kavod is hefach ha'emes. Kavod, honor, seeking honor, is the opposite of truth, because as a kavod, covered hamaduma shal olam ha'zeinu ala shekhar, that kavod avaduma, that imaginary kavod that people buy into in this world, is nothing but sheker. The opposite of truth. It's a complete illusion. All right. So you have chesed, Torah, avodah, gemilas chesedim, and Torah, avodah, gemilas chesedim on the one hand. On the other hand, you have kina, taiva, and kavod. And those are the three positive and negative expressions of the same ideas. An emotz of a chazal, about a paragraph from 161. And a motzim karagil, I'm sorry, we generally find when you deal with people, she'ofiyah amyuchat shel adam mevoses be'ikar al echa mishlosh ha'kochus be'ikarim. That the, let's just say the personality, the natural personality of a person is based on one of these three fundamentals. He'ilah she'zachan al ma'ala, these three fundamentals that we mentioned. Because one of them, generally speaking, defines a person's essence, his personality. Based on that unique personality that he has, he's driven to act based on that personality. I mean, the first two are the easiest ones to define. Some people are very outgoing, and some people are more reserved, right? Doesn't mean that the person who's reserved can't do chesed, as we already said. And it doesn't mean the person is outgoing, can't scrutinize himself, but you know, you have the extrovert and you have the introvert. That's the way it is, right? So and emes as well. Some people have this nature that pursues truth and pursues everything from the vantage point of truth. So there's type A, type B, and type C in terms of personalities. The racious avodas adam hu. He says the beginning of a person's personal avoda is she yakir yigalas midas ikris hazus. You have to know yourself. She yigale, she yakir should recognize yigale, and reveal what is his primary midah. What kind of who is he? Because if we try to be somebody who we're not, it doesn't work. So we first have to discover ourselves and determine who are we. Which of these personalities are we? And then yiftachal shleimus to develop it to perfection, abi darkei Torah according to Torah, v'yenemelon to be true to it and faithful to it, to use that midah to engage all of the components of avodas Hashem by tapping into his or her unique personality and strength. And that's what he says now. It's just to be satisfied with developing that one midah, like just chesed and working chesed. He has to do the others as well. The one that does chesed also has to have Yirat Shamayim. And the one that does chesed also has to have emes. But if you like Yirat Shlemus, in order to reach total perfection, he has to cheat them as well. And to bring the seed to full development and maturity. The seed of shlemus that lies within us, and to develop ourselves into total servants of the Kodesh Baruch Hu by actualizing the potential that we have based on unique personalities, and make sure that even when we do that, it shouldn't be at the expense of the other two, but to find a way to find, perhaps through that primary midah, the pathway to the others as well. And also not to deny ourselves. You know, sometimes you try to compare ourselves to another person. Say, why am I not doing what that person is doing? And the answer is because you're not that person. And if you're not supposed to be that person, you have to be you and figure out how you're supposed to serve HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, are we together on this? Not a whole lot of questions to me. Together has that. Okay, Shlemus Avos. Topic 162. Shlemus Avos. Shlemus is totality, the total perfection of the Avos. Together has that. In Gamba Olam Acher, Nizgav Hasag HaSeinah. So it's along these lines, even if it is a whole different world beyond our ability to fathom when he's talking about these great people. Hayumidas Avos HaGdoshim Olam Yashlam was their mitos. Each one of them achieved his own perfection. Based on his primary midah. First, he perfected his own unique midah. And then he went and paid attention and found a way to develop the secondary midahs as well. And I guess by saying secondary, he's really saying, while we have to know who we are, we shouldn't think it's a zero-sum game, that if I'm a chesed person, then I'm not a yira person. I'm primarily a chesed person, but people are complex, and they have different components. The question is, which one of these three characteristics stands out and dominates our personalities? But dominates doesn't mean that the others don't exist, and we have to find ways to develop them as well. And that's what the others did. And to use his primary midah to bring the others to perfection. And that's how he achieved his perfection in the universe. And this is what the Zohar says. Each one of the Avos, each one of the Avos got to know Hashem through his own astaklari, his own looking glass. Right? Yeah, Staklaria, yeah. Yeah. It's not Hebrew. Not Hebrew, but it's yeah. So it's Aspaklaria. So it's a very beautiful statement by the Zohar. Each one of the Avos got to know Hashem through his Aspaklaria, means through his perspective, through his unique personality, and therefore they're different. Each one of them is different from the other, and that's what makes them so interesting, and that's what makes the contributions unique.
Sort of, in addition to being descriptive, are we supposed to take from this that we should try to incorporate the three aspects, that sort of the goal is we have to understand what's our main nature and then use that, but also we should be paying attention to the other.
Right, exactly. To use that to recognize who we are, and that's where we start, that's our starting point. And then to develop that and to use that also to explore the other two and to find our way to them as well. Right. So he says, "V'chem etzina ba'Avram Avinu." So we find ba'Avram Avinu. He's going to show how this was true for each of the others. "V'chem etzina ba'Avram Avinu, shekodesh shenizgala lo Hashem Yisbarach b'Charan, that before Hashem even revealed Himself to Avram in Charan." He already achieved perfection of chesed on his own. As it says, that that Avram was told. Right? The first thing Hashem tells Avram is lach lacha, right? To go, right? And who does Yaakov, who does Avram take with him? All his possessions, including his nefesh asher asu b'charan, the souls that they made in Charan, right? So who's that? So we're told nafshisah the shebidul oraisa b'charan. These are the souls that Avram and Sarai at that time had brought to Hashem, had converted, if you will, had brought. If you translate this literally, the souls that they subjugated to the Torah in Haran. Arise is the Torah. The Torah means the teachings of Hashem. Shechnis and tachas kafei Shechina. They brought them under the wings of the Shechina. Ben chila mezes hatov hanala, and therefore they did the ultimate chesed. The ultimate chesed, the ultimate gift you can give to somebody is a gift of truth. Of truth in life, and truth in what life is all about. So, by giving them this truth, they gave them the greatest good that one can give somebody, both in this world and the next world. There's no greater gift than the truth. So this is what, this was before Hashem had even spoken to Avram. This is what they were doing. Once Avram discovered Hashem, he says, I have to share this with the world. And I think I mentioned in the past that the Rambam says that by this time, Avram already had tens of thousands of followers. You think of, you know, the few people. Nefesh ish asa b'charan, souls that they made in Charan, went with Avram to Eretz Canaan. The Rambam says they numbered in the tens of thousands. And practically all of the nisyonos, the tests, that Avram was challenged with were not about chesed. He already mastered chesed. He had to master gevurah. He had to master strength, right? So lech lecha was the nisayon that we read about. Lazov is aviv, to abandon his father. Leizik naso, in his old age. Hashem ki mitzvah Hashem, to the will of Hashem. His natural inclination would have been to stay with his father. But he had to overcome that because Hashem told him to. Lechemes hamalachim, he had to wage war against the kings. Bris mila. Now why was bris mila a challenge of Yira or Gvura and really challenged his inclination for Chesed? Because Brismila Shefrida Beino Leben Shara Anoshis, it separated between him and the rest of humanity. And that separation could potentially stifle his ability to relate to others, to have others relate to him. The Chen Tani argued, defined in the Medrash, that Avram was challenged by this. What did he say? He said, "Ashlo Malti, before my bris milah, Yibam is definitely people were ready to attach themselves to me. Tomish Malti, what about after my bris milah? Yibam is definitely, would they still join me? Would they still follow me? Would they still listen to me?" Now, maybe it's a little bit hard for us to understand, but this was a profound physical demarcation that physically set him apart from everybody else, and it was done in a way that others knew about it. And it marked him. It was a mark. It's a mark on the body. It's like a brand, okay? That he's branded as being somebody, as being the other. And he branded himself as the other, and being the other does not bode well for chesed, for interacting with others and influencing others and impacting others' lives, because they don't relate to you as much. Or at least that's what Avram was concerned about. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does Hashem say to him? Don't worry about it. Tayecha Shani Elokecha, it's enough that I'm the guy. You have me. It might make you very alone. Perish meaning to say, Shem is saying how you crush him. What says that this is a difficult challenge for him? Because it contradicted his natural inclination for chesed. But it was dafka through this opposition. Avoda kruchbo, and the avoda yitzchak mida, right? Avoda that was necessary for it. He got to recognize Hashem both in Harba Yosan and Allah in a much more elevated way. Because he had to now recognize Hashem in ways that did not come naturally to him. And he had to relate to Hashem in ways that were not naturally part of his personality. Because what he did until now came naturally according to his midah. But now, if he does the same thing, it won't be simply because it's natural, but it'll be up here, kar amuka, to a deep understanding, from chazekas harbe Yosef Amnasi's baruch, a much more powerful understanding and recognition of his emunah in Hashem, because he, once he's ready to go against chesed, to do the will of Hashem, then his chesed has now been elevated to doing the will of Hashem as well, instead of doing that which came naturally to him. Right? Should we try to finish this paragraph? Let's try. Sorry, it's a little bit of overtime, but it's hard to stop in the middle of the paragraph. When he abandoned Yishmael of Hagar, he missed it to Hashem. Hashem tells him he got to abandon it. And above all, was the Sion HaKashab Yosef was challenging the Sion of Nisayon HaKeda. Sheba Amdobo, that by passing that Nisayon of the Akeda, Achesed, right? Avram's natural personality was never challenged more than by natural Chesed personality was challenged by the Akeda more than anything else. So what is the Mal say to Avram in the name of Hashem after the Akeda? Sheba Amdobo, by passing that test, Nemar Lo Meis Hashem, Hashem tells them, Ati Yadati, now I know, Kirei Elokimata. He mastered Yira as well. Right? Through the Akedah, he mastered Yira. Kolomer, meaning to say, Shazach Avram Likmas, Ashlemis Midas HaYira. Avram was able to acquire the totality of Yira ben Gvon HaLayom B'Yosef to the nth degree. Shemekabal Atzma Omachusis Baruch, that he accepts upon himself the yoke of Hashem's kingship. B'lish Shum Histai Guyos, without any reservations. V'muchan Levatar Al Kokinyan of Agashmi, and he's ready to give all of his physical acquisitions, as well as the spiritual acquisitions, ke'echad, give them all together, when they hadar go and uzo in the face of Hashem's greatness. So, because that's what he was giving up Yitzchak, he would have given up everything, his whole physical future and his whole spiritual future, everything would have gone out the window with that. So Avram, who was about chesed, had to be tested in Yiro, once he mastered chesed, and then that Yiro becomes superimposed over his chesed, that his chesed is also an act of avoda, not just the natural actions of a person who's a people person.
So if you can't figure out who you are primarily, then you would look at all the tests that you received?
I think he may even say that at some point. Others say that for sure. The Chief Shalom definitely says that. You want to know what your task in life is. What's your mission? Is take a look at what's the most challenging for you. Yeah, take a look at your challenges. Yeah.
Especially the same one keeps repeating.
Nice. And particularly when we think about it, those things very often that we're very challenged by wouldn't be a challenge for somebody else. So that means that's the area that we need to work on. Okay. See you next week.
So the
2 meters of chesed and gevura avoda, yeah.
So din also.
Din, you're right. Very good. We didn't mention that, but you're right. Din.
When you rein those two in, you kind of get to MS. Isn't it kind of like how it was set?
Well, you could. Well, we'll see something along those lines. Jumping the gun a little bit, yeah. But chesed, the synthesis of chesed gevura could become MS, or MS could bring to the balance between chesed and gevura. The synthesis of chesed and gevura,
yeah,
could lead one to MS,
yeah,
or MS could lead one to properly synthesize chesed and gevura.
It sort of seemed like at the start of this, where he was describing the three components, you know, you shouldn't go too far this way, you know, external and too far internal, and so MS is sort of the middle, that sort of sets it up as like that's the balanced way,
mm-hmm,
period,
mm-hmm,
that we should strive for.
Ultimately, but it has to be, but again, it depends what your starting point is. And you have to get to MS at some point. You got to get there. Where do you start with?
Is that a diagram of the heroes that you get to the...
I don't do those diagrams.
Okay. I
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess. Okay. All right.
Yes.